This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Oh, Larry with the chuckle coming in. Sharp Money, we welcome you in. Kick off a new week here. VSiN, DraftKings, and while I think it's cute that Larry's laughing, and Dustin Sweetelson live downtown Las Vegas at the D. I'm Patrick Maher live from Los Angeles. I'm glad you guys are all having a good time because today it's all about business. Today it's time to get serious. We have all hands on deck. A Game 7, Sunrise, Florida. You know, it's a good omen, too, because I walked out the house, and everybody knows I've been living and dying with these Panthers. And tonight, I got to be honest, I'm a little nervous, but I walked out the crib, walked right, and I looked to the east, you know, and I saw the sun coming up, and it was a gorgeous sunrise. And I thought, there's something there, some synergy with Sunrise Florida hosting Game 7, the two best words in sports coming up tonight with the Oilers. Friday wasn't great if you're a Panthers backer, and now this number open, the Panthers a $1.20 favorite. It's come back a little bit here to $1.12. The Oilers a $1.08, 5.5 on the total, as has been consistent. Just the juice dancing a little bit up and down throughout the first six of the Stanley Cup Final. I've got facts on facts on facts. In particular, probably not going to want to bet the over in a Game 7, so we'll get to those coming up in just a little bit. But again, this is a big night for the show. A lot of focus today on Oilers-Panthers. Probably a little more nervous than I should be. Now, remember, if you were like me, and you wanted to go heavy. And Samich kind of talked to me. I'll get to Samich in a second. Samich kind of talked to me. And this is very interesting, though. Because if you wanted to go heavy before the series started and lay a $1.30, okay, $1.35 on the Panthers, when you're up 3-0, you're like, oh, my gosh, that was the cheapest price ever. Laid $1.30 to win $1 on a team that's about to sweep. But think about it this way. And I'm always looking for the positivity, like the beautiful sunrise, like Dustin Sweetelson still having a shot with Shorty behind Bar Canada. I'm always trying to think positive, like the NFL guy dropping on the 27th here at VSiN. I'm always trying to think positive. And the positivity is, if I went heavy and dropped the $1.35 series price, I'm now getting a better price at $1.12 in a single game elimination, which essentially is the same thing. See, it's the win horse. I'm up over here. I'm up over here. But it all ended up right here. You understand, big guy? Dustin Sweetelson, of course, doing his thing. Big weekend four-hour tour with Ben Wilson yesterday on a live bet Sunday, which you look forward to. I know that's right. Open up the rundown and take a look. We've got a lot. I know you're looking to talk. I get it. Open up the rundown. Fran Fraschilla is going to join now. Fran Fraschilla, ESPN college basketball expert. He's very important because we've got the draft coming up on Wednesday. And why is Fran important? He knows the Euros. I don't. You don't. Sweetelson couldn't even sniff Europe. So he doesn't know anything. So Fran Fraschilla is going to help us today if you're looking to bet the NBA draft, which may be the worst draft in the history of the NBA, the association. Bill Lindsay, who calling me? Spam risk? Get the hell out of here. Five hole, Bobrovsky. Bill Lindsay, he is the Florida Panthers radio analysis. Go ahead, smile, big guy. He's going to join us. We're going to get a feel of the temperature, quite literally and figuratively, down at Sunrise. Maybe some sloshy ice wouldn't hurt us. Slow down that vaunted Oilers attack. Dan Rosen. We're doubling down on the hockey today. NHL.com senior writer. Looking forward to talking to Danny. And then here's what it comes down to. And this is what I said. I woke up today and I gave the big guy an edict. I said, what is this? What is Game 7? Amongst Dustin Sweetelson, Panthers fan. Me, Panthers fan. Mike Samich, Aaron Halterman. You know the crew buzzing in the group chat. I said, this is all hands on deck. So we hit up Halterman, who's just chilling with Heather in Oklahoma. You got it, boys, right away. Then I hit up Samich. But I didn't realize that Samich, he didn't even work the handle this weekend because he was in Vegas with the boys. Okay? So I hit him up and I said, look, no pressure, but it's an all hands on deck Monday. with a Game 7. We've only had 18 Game 7s in the history of the Stanley Cup Final. I think this is pretty important. And we've been on this two-month ride with the Cats, with the Panthers. So Samich hits me back and says this. It's been rough. I'm not feeling great, but I think I can rally. No pressure. Let me know. He then just texted me and Dustin, hey, boys, I'll be in studio at 2 o'clock your time. Wait, hold up a second. I thought you were back in Santa Barbara. Samich is going to be live on set today. So look forward to it. And you know what that is? That's a tremendous effort from the group. Dustin Swedelson, welcome to the program.
There's a lot on the line today, as you foreshadowed there. And you're right. Everyone's going to be tuned in from the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee. Across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea. From Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., where's pride in every American heart. And it's time we stand and say, I'm proud to be an American where at least I know I'm free. And the Panthers are going to get it done today in Game 7, baby.
That's a tremendous job. Little planned, a little plastic,
I had a lot of time.
Got through it without bumbling and stumbling, which is, it's a big dub for the whole crew.
Yeah, well, I mean, I had a lot of time to plan out what I wanted to say, for being fair.
4 hours with Ben, that'll do it. So, anywho, we have a big program today. Now, that was a good job by Samich, because I had no clue he was still in Vegas. Looking forward to Samich stopping by. He's going to be in rough shape. We're going to need some energy.
The only question is, are they going to have to wheel him in here with an IV? Like, does he have an IV person visiting him in his hotel room right now to make sure he's good to go for the rest of the day?
Yeah, Dustin said to me earlier today, he said, somebody as buttoned up as Samich, you know, I wonder what going hard is like. And I had the same answer I'll give everybody. Now, this is different as a 46-year-old man, but here is the simple answer. A hangover is a hangover. So whether you're out here with Justin Timberlake hanging over, or whether you're just tying one on with the boys as a buttoned-up dude, Samich-style hangover. A hangover is a hangover. It's an opportunity to reevaluate what it means to be a human being. Homo sapien. It doesn't feel good.
Undefeated since biblical times.
Yeah. Jesus was out here getting crunk like, this is ridiculous. I got to do something about this. You understand? You know what's funny? When I got up today, I was like, I cannot wait for this game. And I'm not throwing any outlets under the bus. But I go to CBSSports.com just to see what's cooking. There was literally no NHL, just to give you an idea, no NHL coverage. You know, at the top where you click, it's like, I want to go to this sport, I want to go to this sport. They didn't even have it in the banner. You had to go to other to get to the NHL. Game seven coming up tonight down at Sunrise. A historical franchise in the Oilers. The Oilers won 5 Stanley Cup in a 7-year period. Some of the great players that ever played the sport. Okay, I understand it's the Florida Panthers. People want to hate. Brooks Koepka is essentially their only fan. But I'll just say this. To not have any coverage, and my little eyeballs drifted down on CBS Sports, and they had coverage of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift on stage. That is a terrible job. And I'm not going to stand for it as a Panthers fan.
But you watched the Travis Kelce video. He was phenomenal doing his dance in the tuxedo with the top hat and carrying her. He was awesome. He could be on Broadway right now.
I actually did not click it.
He's a great performer. He's got a future after football.
Yeah. The Kelce brothers are awesome. They've got a very popular podcast. They're very Midwestern, down-earth folk. But you're kind of missing my point. Not a whisper. Whisper of NHL coverage. And that's why people come to Sharp Money. They do throughout the whole entire season.
I would also add, it's a missed opportunity on another level, because what a Game 7 could do right now, there are more people, like myself included, who care about hockey for the first time in a very long time. I've gotten way into this series. It's not even just the shtick on the show that we've done. It's not even just the pride for America battling Canada here. It's so much more than that. It's been a fascinating story to watch, a de-evolution, an evolution, an opportunity, missed opportunity, taking advantage, and greatness happening in front of us with Connor McDavid every single night. There's a little juice with the hockey, and it's almost disappointing that it ends after tonight, because it feels like there should be a better way to capitalize on more people caring about the sport than really have in a while.
it down to this, Dustin, you said it. It's been quite a ride. Florida up 3-0, and then the Oilers come back on a 3-0 run, trying for the reverse sweep. It's on the table. And in doing so, over the last three wins and three games, the Oilers have outscored the Panthers 18-5. The 18 is tied as the most goals scored over a three-game period in Stanley Cup final history. It's not great. Not great if you're trying to find reasons to back the Panthers. You understand?
No, well, there's also a mental aspect to it that I think we're going to have to dissect throughout the show. Everything for Edmonton right now is all positive, loose, and free. Even if they lose today, what they accomplished coming back, there's a sense of house money. They made it a series. They gave it their best. It's all upward, right? It's all on the positive side. Everything for Florida, mentality-wise, is trending down. What's wrong with our goalie? How do we stop the barrage of shots? Are we going to make history in the worst way possible? It's all negative, negative, negative on one side, positive, positive, positive on the other. And I don't know how our boys overcome it, baby.
But they will. They're going to find a way. And I'll come back and tell you how. It's all right here on this piece of paper. It's that simple. Paul Maurice, it's your boy. Fran Fraschilla, if we're being honest, the big guy put me in a tough spot on a Monday with the Fraschilla spot, but we'll do it. Yeah. Bill Lindsay, really tough spot, if I'm being completely honest. He's a good guy. Bill Lindsay, Dan Rosen, Hockey Hockey, Mike Somich, Aaron Halterman, group, buzzing, hockey. When we come back, we've got to play. Manny Davidson might even get involved in the mix. Sharp Money, the Fraschilla, that's a tough spot in 20 minutes. We're back, Sharp Money on a Monday.
Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With our NFL betting guide dropping this Thursday, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. All our new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season. With in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends, you'll have all the tools you need to bet this season smarter. Plus, our experts share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. To get the guide, you must be a VSiN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, get an annual subscription to the VSiN Pro to become a VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price. Normally $240, you can subscribe now for just $199, but you have to use the promo code SHARP. Plus, we'll throw in an extra month for free. You get a month. You get a month. That's 13 months of VSiN program access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this incredible offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now and use the promo code SHARP to get 13 months becoming a VSiN Pro for just $199 and reserve your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I have a question. Who won Game 7? Because that's how long that read took.
I was waiting for it.
Who wrote the copy?
The people who normally write the copy.
What?
The people who normally write the copy.
We got to introduce editing. It's a great deal, and we can't wait for the guide to come out. I'll just say this. I found a home run on Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Whoa.
At a price.
Whoa,
that's in the guide.
Weird that you found a home run for a football bet.
Yeah, exactly. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. We welcome you back. War and peace. Dostoevsky's like, dude, you guys. Anyway, we are very excited because of Game 7. Now, again, open 120, and we've dipped down to 112, 108, so you're going to lay a price on either. 5.5 on the total. There's so much to go here. Florida, as far as the pressure, Dustin Sweetelson. So let's just think about the Panthers. They lost in the 96 final. Then over the next 23 years, after losing in 96, the Florida Panthers, they had four playoff appearances without winning a round. So lose 96, 23 straight years of not winning a playoff round. And then over the past couple of years, this kind of rejuvenation. The general manager has done a really good job kind of changing the philosophy of the organization. And last year, the final run, losing to VGK and kind of proven, was that a fluke? Absolutely not, as they come back and they're in the Stanley Cup final again. At one point, up 3-0. But I'm just trying to paint the picture, because now this. So again, is there pressure on the Florida Panthers tonight? Every single ounce of it. I think it's a little mistaken to not think that the Oilers have some, and I'll tell you why in a second, but you're 96, last time you were in a final. You go 23 years, and you got, and it's a fan base where, you know, a lot of people opposing north of Miami, a lot of people go to the games because, you know, they're down there on vacation. You can pick up the secondary market as far as tickets. You know, never really been thought of as, you know, you think of Tampa Bay when you think of hockey in that state, and now the Panthers are on the map. But it was 23 straight years of just inadequacy. So their final last year, back to the Stanley Cup final this year, up 3-0, and now it's tied at 3-3, and we're coming back to the barn. Pretty crazy.
Well, it's crazy, especially when you contrast it what's going on with Edmonton. With Edmonton and their history, you touched on it earlier, the run when we were children, or not born yet in my case, for a little bit there. Messier and Gretzky going all the way back. And what they're carrying right now pressure-wise, I don't know if it relates to them. I think it relates big picture to the country of Canada. Similar like when an SEC team makes the college football playoff and all the other SEC teams start rooting for that SEC school to get it done, there's a sense of Southern pride that comes with it. I think there's an element of pressure for the country of Canada here for Edmonton to break this curse in 93, because 93 is the theme. That's the last time Kirk Muller and the boys from Montreal won a cup for Canada. And also 93 is the years the Panthers came into existence.
Well, I'll give you an example. Our buddy Vince, my buddy Vince that I met over here walking by the beach, that loves VSiN, loves Sharp Money. We went out and had beers for, I think it was game four, game five, somewhere in there. And he's not from Edmonton. And he's bombing me with texts every time something goes well for the Oilers. This is about Canadian pride. And that's why, with respect to Vince, with respect to anybody that's from Canada, this show's not about you. These colors don't run. Okay, this is a big American program today. And then we can flip and become multicultural and all that kind of stuff. But we have officially built a border wall.
No. Let's be very clear. Canada, because they're very friendly on the surface, the Canadians will try and convince you that they are an ally, they are a friend. Here's the thing. Nobody believed our founding fathers in 1776 would do what they did. Break off from England. And Britain blew a 13-colony lead in that contest. We have a team here in Florida potentially blowing a 3-0 lead. But you have to choose sides when it comes to things like this. And when you look at Canada, they're still traitors. They're still linked to England. Did you know the Queen is still on their money? The Queen of freaking England? They're still riding with a war that we won in 1776 with our enemies? Let's be very clear. They are not our friends. They are not our allies. And the only reason they exist, by the way, is that we allow the country of Canada to exist. Because if that land was worth anything, we would have just taken it over in probably 48 hours if we wanted.
And if we're being completely honest, we go 76, it's our country. Then the War of 1812, really, that was just about Britain and Canada trying to come down on our property. And it's like, step off. James Madison, Dolly Madison, you know the whole story. So step off. We're trying to push them back up, okay? Put that hat up there and let's build that wall. Now, as far as Edmonton, big guy, 5 Stanley Cups in 7 seasons, all-time players, just a historic franchise. They were the standard as far as hockey's concerned, and then they went to the cellar for a long time.
A long time.
So it was a dip into misery for a team that had some of the all-time greats and 5 cups in 7 seasons. So they've been through front office changes, philosophy changes, head coach change just in November, goalie changes. But here's the thing. They've got Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. Now, here's where the pressure comes in for them. They're entering their late 20s. Like, it's time. If it's not now, when would be the question, okay? McDavid, what's fascinating, what scares you, scares the hell out of you, if you're a Panthers backer, is McDavid in game 6, didn't have a shot on goal, and they dominated. That's not great if you're a Panthers backer. And I'll tell you what, he's not going to win it, but this Skinner, Conn Smythe conversation should be brought up a little bit more, because I was led to believe Skinner stinks. Hello, Skinner is now 10-0, games 4 through 7 in the postseason, and a 1.5 goals against average. He's 5-0 when facing elimination. Skinner's been on, he's been standing on his head. Bobrovsky's the one you got to worry about. There are some saying, kind of like last year in the Stanley Cup final, that he ran out of gas against VGK. Some saying he ran out of gas as well. The trajectory of this Stanley Cup run and this final run has been fascinating, because up 3-0, Bob was about to do two Vezinas, so two-time best goalkeeper on the planet. But Bob, up 3-0, was a lock to win the Conn Smythe, and now he's become the anchor. Now think about how this is flipped. So Skinner over here just nails in elimination games, and now Bob, the question is, Dustin told me earlier today he wasn't at shoot-around yesterday. So, little concern in the net.
So, Bob, games 1 through 3, a 9.53 save percentage, 1.3 goals against allowed average. In games 4 through 6, drops to 7.93 and 5.06. He has been absolutely brutal. He is holding this team back. You have to wonder if Edmonton scores one or two really early in this one, if he gets pulled, because he is absolutely, he went from the X factor of why Florida will win to the X factor of why Edmonton might win, all in the swing of a couple games.
McDavid at home, game 6, no SOG, no shots on goal, still kind of dominated with his flow and his skating, that's what he does. But in game 6, and just the game really wasn't in the balance. That's what's got me nervous here.
Yeah, what gets me nervous is him just trying to create, because he can do it on the fly. He's so quick. We've seen him split defenders. And the scary part about a superstar at that level is there's a lot of great pure goal scorers in hockey history. And scoring goals is a wonderful thing. The great separator of the truly elite players in this sport are players who can make others better. Connor McDavid gets all the attention and uses it to his advantage to set up his teammates. That's why he just broke Gretzky's assist record in the postseason.
Big guy, can I ask you a question? If he's listening right now, I have a little message for Matthew Tkachuk. Matthew. Son, pay attention. Haktua, spit on that thing. Get yourself, wake up, Matthew. We're going to need something. Okay, get the cobwebs off. It's game 7. Tkachuk has shown up one game in this series. We're going to need him tonight in Sunrise, the big guy. We're coming back with game 7. Facts.
Shout out to Pookie.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, go to vsin.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, and betting guides. It's all there at vsin.com. Great on the mobile as well. Dustin Sweetelson, Mr. Panther. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles, as we welcome you back. Sharp Money, presented by DraftKings and VSiN, the sports betting network. One thing I will say is tonight for Edmonton, and again, Edmonton, $1.08. And Florida right now, $1.12 off the 120 opener, 5.5 on the total. Game 7, the two words you like to hear in Sunrise, Florida, coming up tonight. I'll say this, Dustin. There are two fan bases that aren't going to enjoy tonight, because I've been there with the Red Wings. I've been in these Game 7 situations. It ain't fun. It's just, there's nothing. It's excruciating. Every bounce of the puck, every check, everything going. So Edmonton, with all of the history that we mentioned earlier in the program and all of the pressure that coming back down 3-0, like, there is nothing that's fun about watching this game this evening. And then Florida, you know, if there is a great fan base, which I'm sure there is, every hockey town, even Arizona, who just lost their hockey team, they have a fervent niche. Like, there are people that just care, and they go hard in the paint for their sport. So it's not going to be enjoyable. Did you know, D. Swede, this will be the 18th Game 7 in Stanley Cup Final history? the first since 19 when the Blues beat the Bruins in Boston. Now, a couple of things. You want to build a case for the Oilers tonight? You want to build the case for the Panthers with Game 7 history? Well, the road team has won three straight Game 7s. Checkmark to the Oilers. Home teams, 12-5 all time in Game 7s. Checkmark to the Panthers. However, now this is fascinating. Across the majors, six straight Game 7s have been won by the road team. 19 World Series, 19 Cup, 17 World Series, 16 World Series, 16 NBA Finals, 14 World Series. The last seven across the majors we've had, the last six have all been won by the away team, so the visitors. Now, I mentioned don't expect goals tonight, Dustin. The most goals scored in a Game 7, and again, there's been 17 of them, is four. Four goals, the most ever been scored. It's been done six times, but four. Okay, and the most combined goals scored in the history of a Game 7, Stanley Cup Final, seven. 1950, Detroit beat the Rangers 4-3. So the expectation, not going to have a ton of goals tonight. But again, we could build a case. Well, listen, 17 Game 7s in the Stanley Cup Final, the home team's 12-5. Yeah, but the last three have all been won by the road team. Aaron Halterman checking in to get a vibe check because he's coming up later in the program. You know, the group with the guys buzzing. He said, how's the vibe so far? I'm here, aren't I? The vibe's tremendous. That's your answer. And the big guys brought his A game today. I can't lie. The Fran Fraschilla coming up in 8 minutes. But other than that, now McDavid, 24 postseason games, 42 points, 8 goals, 34 assists. The guy's a freaking monster. He had a monster game, as you know, in Game 5 with the 2 goals and the 2 assists and didn't get a shot on goal in Game 6. Big guy.
Yeah, look, you want to know what the vibes are, Aaron Halterman? Justice will be served. The battle will rage. This big dog will fight, or big cat will fight, when you rattle his cage. And you'll be sorry that you messed with the U.S. of A, because we'll put a boot in your butt. It's the American way. Shout out to Toby Keith, RIP, pour one out. America's not backing down. America's not.
No.
That's the difference between the U.S. and Canada. They have to retreat. They have to ask us for help. We have to bail them out of every situation. They wouldn't exist if it wasn't for us. We do what we need to do to get things done. That's the American way. That's why you have to believe in Florida. That's why you have to believe in the Panthers, because Canada is too nice. They're going to come in and be respectful, where Florida's going to take what's theirs at home.
Yeah, capitalism. You know what else we created? Hoarding. You go to these other countries, they're all thrifty, minimalists. That's not what America's about. We hoard crap, okay? And we like to hoard Stanley Cup since 93.
Yes.
Look it up, kids.
We've got them all. By the way, if you won the cup, what would you drink or eat out of the cup? Oh, we went over this, the popcorn. I'm just remembering this now.
Yeah. Plus, I just don't like the question because it's so shticky.
It's not shtick.
It is, though.
You could win
a cup. Okay, Dustin. I'll play your game because you don't care what my answer is. What would you eat or drink?
I would eat Fruity Pebbles because it turns the milk a different color, and I think it would look cool in the cup.
100% chance over 4 hours yesterday you said the same thing.
I just didn't bring it up yesterday.
You just recycle shtick. There's only so much.
It's called.
There's only so many hours in a broadcast.
It's just like those now, that's what I call music volume 43. That's what I do. I'd have the same best of that plays over and over again with different people.
Yeah, tub thumping. It's the same as asking the question about the cup. All right? I get knocked down. Let's hear from the teams.
Paul Maurice. By the way, the thing I've learned the most about hockey this series, Paul Maurice is a 10 out of 10 soundbite every time.
Yeah, he's great.
He is not afraid.
Awesome.
He's not afraid to speak. And yesterday met with the media and was asked about the pressure in this series going into a Game 7.
I think sevens are just a completely unique animal. I don't think it relates in terms of pressure to anything because there is no tomorrow. So it's a completely different feel. I think we've been immersed in the weight of it for a week. We've been through two or three games, so there's not a new experience for us in this other than it's also a game seven. I think both teams come out flat out as fast as they possibly can. I think that's going to be the manifestation of all of this. As much as they love interacting with you people, as often as we have been afforded the opportunity over the last, they can just drop the puck and play hockey, and that will be a nice thing for them.
Does he seem scared? His vibes.
I think that's the thing I take away, though, is he's not seemed scared every step of the way as they've lost each game, where there's a level of calmness and leadership that I respect, but at the same time, there's a level of maybe we got to do something different, man. Like, maybe we got to mix things up because you're calm and you're like the dog in the meme where the whole room's on fire saying everything's fine.
Yeah, there is a vibe. And he's from Sault Ste. Marie, Canada, which is right above, like, I think Michigan, obviously. If he does blow this, there's going to be an investigation. Like, did he want this for Canada?
Is it an inside job?
Yeah, is Paul Maurice on the inside?
Joe Who's Rogan's going to have a conspiracy theorist on who has a whole philosophy on him.
He's going to do 12 hours on the woolly mammoth.
It's coming back, by the way.
Bro, who's next?
Let's go to Chris. I almost called him Chuck Knobloch. Chris Knobloch on the other bench, because I think the story with him is fascinating, taking over when they were one of the worst teams in hockey. Let's do Chris Knobloch 2 here, guys, the second one. Because back on June 4th, he had this comment, and it went viral. And I think it's interesting because Florida, their experience being in the Cup Final a year ago, Edmonton, a younger team. And he was asked back on June 4th, how much of a role does experience play in this matchup?
I don't know. I don't know how much experience is, you know, beneficial. You can ask the Buffalo Bills how important Super Bowl experience is. But I think the biggest thing is just having confidence to play. And, you know, when our guys are playing their best, they should have a lot of confidence.
Dude, nobody knows you. I don't stand for the snark about an American. The only problem with using Buffalo in that example is Buffalo's essentially Canada.
Yeah, they're basically Toronto's football team.
Yeah, so fine, have them. Think I care?
Yeah, but I thought it was an interesting point there at the time saying, look, you guys are saying they benefited from getting there and not getting it done. And our team's never been there either. Neither team's won a cup. I think there's just one guy who's played in a game seven between the two teams. So experience doesn't really matter when we're talking about a team that didn't finish the job last year.
Well, if we're being completely honest, the Maurice clip is every coach in the history of conversations about game seven.
Yes.
What else am I supposed to say, dude? That's the answer.
Yeah.
What do you want from me?
But he does.
Pressure's high. Got to go out there. Be on our front foot. Like, what else could we possibly say? It all comes down to this. We're all in. The locker room's buzzing. Da, da, da.
Yeah, but I think you're right, though. When, like, he did have a very, like, war general type feel. Like, even if he's not saying that to the team, the face in the public was very calm. This is what it is. The pressure's on for both teams. Like, I don't know. There was something. There was no shake in him. Where Knobloch, maybe this is where the inexperience finally comes back to get Edmonton and their young head coach.
Well, he just arrived in November, and he's got him in a game seven. So he's pushing the right buttons.
True.
We shall see. We've got Bill Lindsay, Florida Panthers radio analyst, coming up on the show. Looking forward to that. Dan Rosen, NHL. Mike Somich, Aaron Halterman. Coming up next, a little curveball. We got the draft coming up on Wednesday, you know, the NBA draft. And one of the greats to do it, Fran Fraschilla, ESPN college basketball analyst, is going to join us right here on the program. Been looking forward to this spot. We're getting to Fran next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, NFL guide release day all day Thursday. We're gearing up for that. It's going to be awesome. Sign up, vsin.com/subscribe, so you can get the NFL betting guide this year. We've got a special deal, $1.99, and give you a month for free. But remember, NFL Guide release day all day Thursday. We're all over it here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, as we welcome you back. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Of course, DraftKings and VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got the NBA Draft coming up on Wednesday, and nobody better to talk about the draft than the great Fran Fraschilla. Of course, ESPN College Basketball and NBA Draft Analyst at Fran Fraschilla on Twitter. And as we say, Fran, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Fire away.
So much has been made, Progressive Guest Line brings you, Fran, about the draft and maybe the lack of quality. What you've been so good in your career at helping us understand are the Euros. And this is going to be, frankly, very heavily influenced by European players. Fair?
Not only European players, I would say French players. Two could go in the top two, really. Sarr and Reece Hoschet. We'll get into those guys. But four are definitely likely in the first round, and a fifth is hovering just outside the first round. So, yes, international players have overtaken, Patrick, as you know, the NBA, 25% of the league now born outside the United States, but particularly France. Last year, Wemby and Bilal Coulibaly, and this year, you know, at least four in the first round, maybe five. So, you know, it's a phenomenon that France has been so good at producing NBA players recently.
And Coulibaly came on late in the year for Washington, so they're happy with that player. And I'm glad you said it, Fran.
Yeah.
Reece Hoschet, because I was going to botch that. Zachary Reece Hoschet.
I'm here to help. I'm here to help
you guys. We work with odds.
I want you to be smart. I want you guys to sound smart on draft night.
Reece Hoschet. He's the favorite. He's the big-time favorite right now to go to the Hawks one overall. Tell me about the player.
6'9", kid. Remember, 19 years old. You know, in a draft where there's so much uncertainty, I don't want to say it's a bad draft because in 2013, Giannis was taken 15th, Rudy Gobert 27th. But in a draft where there's so much uncertainty, Patrick, this young man, he's got an NBA position and an NBA skill from day one. He's a 6'9 wing who can shoot it, put it on the floor. He's a good defender. He played in a good league in France, which I said earlier is producing a lot of NBA players. And he'll play his entire NBA season almost as a 19-year-old. So lots of upside, a lot of skill. You know, when you're talking about 19-year-olds, it's just like a high school pitcher who throws 98. You never know, but he certainly has a lot of potential to be a very good NBA player.
We're talking to the great Fran Fraschilla, of course, college basketball, NBA draft analyst over at ESPN. You tweeted out at Fran Fraschilla, you tweeted out that you believe Rob Dillingham, Kentucky, is the most skilled player in the draft. Tell me more about the player.
Well, Rob is a kid, along with Reed Shepard. Both of those guys came off the bench for John Calipari, two highly recruited players. I think both of them were, I would have to say, a surprise. Now, don't worry about coming off the bench, because there's a kid playing in Phoenix by the name of Devin Booker who never started a game at Kentucky. That's just how they roll down there. You got Maxie and Booker, and now Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox. John produces so many guards, and oftentimes they just pile up on each other while they're at Kentucky. I mean, I don't think Jamal Murray was that heavily thought of a prospect when Tyler Ulis was there. This kid at 6'2 max is a scoring machine, a great handle, not afraid to take big shots, shot 44% from the field. In an ideal world, he is the perfect sixth man. When you think back to the Mavs and the Celtics last week, one of the Mavs' Achilles heels, they had no second unit scoring whenever they had to rest Luka and Kyrie. And this is a kid like a Jamal Crawford, like a Lou Williams, that in time is a guy that can come off the bench and get you, you know, 20, 25 points off the bench. Now, I'm not saying that's exactly going to be his role, but that's really where he's most suited for, because he does score like he breathes, but he has a very underrated playmaking ability too. And that's why at 6'2", I think he is the most talented player, inch for inch, I should say, in this draft.
Now, you mentioned Reece Hoschet, Sarr, Fran, was the player in the name that we had been hearing a lot about for a few months now. Can you help us understand Alex Sarr?
Absolutely. Easy name to pronounce there, Patrick.
Yes.
You know, it's just like it says. But, no, he's another French kid. He, you know, his father was a pro player. His brother played at Wake Forest for a little while, 1 year, and then off to the Oklahoma City Thunder, still a work in progress. Alex has been around forever. He started as a 14-year-old signed by Real Madrid, the same team, obviously, that produced Luka Doncic and so many others. And long, athletic, still has to get stronger, kind of a modern NBA big, showing a little bit of three-point shooting touch, shot blocker, just has to fill out. He could go number one. Keep in mind, he's got a great agent. Bill Duffy is trying to manipulate the draft. I think they want him in Washington for some reason. And but certainly he's a guy that could, you could end up hearing his name called when the Hawks do pick. Modern center, still has to get stronger. He's got what I call no chest density right now. So he's going to get pushed around. But again, 19 years old. On the upside, he's Jaren Jackson Jr. At worst, he's Nick Claxton, not a bad NBA player, but not what you would think if you were being if you were being taken number one or number two in this draft.
Fran, a gentleman that I know he's 24 years old, but Dalton Knecht is going to be a 10-year pro. He's going to score. Is he a name that's being talked about as, you know, a lottery pick? Where's Dalton Knecht from Tennessee?
Absolutely, absolutely. And here's the crazy thing about Dalton Knecht. Last year, second team All Big Sky. This year, first team All American, SEC Player of the Year. Crazy. Great shooter, very athletic. Kind of reminds me of Pat Connaughton up in Milwaukee, who is a great athlete. Was a, would have been pitching in the major leagues if he wasn't playing for the Milwaukee Bucks, and probably a better shooter than Pat. And again, I think definitely I'd say before 12, someone's going to take him because in this draft, there's a lot of guys. There's a guy at ESPN that always says about players, not a good shooter, but he can make a shot. And I never figured out what that means. This kid is a good shooter, and he can make shots. And so team is going to draft him basically on his long-range sniper ability. Not a good defender, and he is a little older. But if you need shooting, he's right there, you know, on your bullseye if you're looking at him.
Fran, give me a player you like. Give me a player that obviously being discussed, but maybe not as much. I know you mentioned Dillingham. Can you give me one more name?
Yeah, I think I can. How about Bub Carrington from the Pittsburgh Panthers? He's one of the youngest players in this draft. Wasn't a top 100 player last year coming out of Baltimore. Baltimore kids are generally guys that come to college in the NBA with a chip on their shoulder. And Bub, 6'5 point guard, was all ACC rookie team, tough kid, gets into the paint. And I think he's a guy that I think is probably going to go in the middle of the first round. Big guard, gets into the lane, doesn't shoot it like Ty Halliburton, but similar size and athletic characteristics. So he definitely jumps out at me.
And Fran, Bronny James, obviously there's so much that goes into that conversation, but just the player, do you consider Bronny James to be a pro?
Not now, and not probably for a while. Honestly, if he wasn't Bronny James, he probably would not be drafted. He's an athletic kid. You got to give him some credit for missing half the year because of the heart incident, which had to be scary. He's an undersized two guard. Unfortunately, he shoots poorly. Will somebody draft him? I think they will. And then he's on his own, like it's almost like, and again, keep in mind, though, there's a lot of kids in this draft and in the NBA who are the children of NBA players. There is something about Bronny having grown up around it that helps him, but he was the third best guard at USC. And if he does get drafted, he's got a lot of work ahead of him. But two things that I think he can hang his hat on is the fact that he is a good athlete. He does know how to play, but he absolutely has to improve his shooting. There's a kid at Northwestern, Boo Booey, who's the all-time leading scorer in at Northwestern and was really one of the best players in the Big Ten this year. He did not get invited to the combine because Bronny did. And there's a bunch of kids out there like that are going to be licking their chops once they get you know, to a summer league team as an undrafted free agent that are going to want to prove themselves. And whereas on the other hand, no fault to Bronny's. the likelihood that he's going to get drafted, then he's on his own.
Fran, you're the best. We'll be watching on Wednesday, ESPN College Basketball NBA Draft Analyst at Fran Fraschilla on Twitter. Thank you, Fran. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Patrick.
Okay, thank you very much. Good job. Fran Fraschilla, great guy. Bill Lindsay coming up next, Florida Panthers radio analyst. We're talking the Cup tonight.